At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A warm and friendly hello, welcome to lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Craig Hoops Peterson, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. We've got an excellent podcast for you guys. Joining me in segment number two is Mike Randall. He does tremendous work over at FTN Network. He's going to be talking about just some of the bracket matchups that really appeal to him, some of the styles of teams that he's looking at in terms of teams that he is slash is not going to be willing to trust in terms of his brackets, some of the bets that he's got on the round of 64, and we're going to take a look at a few games that we do have for Tuesday as well. We're also going to be talking about why you should not be neglecting the NIT, CBI, CIT, because one of the questions I got that wanted to be answered for the old first segment of this show, where I do answer all these questions, comments, segment ideas that you have for this podcast, which you're able to fire in one of two ways, my Twitter slash xv.junior_41. Keep in mind, letters EM, they mean does not matter. As per usual, please do send these into the timeline. Other way, that is via an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. But I know that you guys were asking if I'm going to be doing the NIT, CBI, all that. Yes, absolutely yes. As a matter of fact, I think that some of your biggest edges are on some of those smaller games, and we are going to be hitting every single game in the final segment. That'll be the CIT games, the NIT games, and the first four games as we hit some bank shots. So every single one of these tournaments is going to be served up, and I do think that it is so important this time of year to be taking a look at that. Like, if I were to give advice on how to do bankroll management and how to allocate your funds, honestly, when it comes to the NCAA tournament, that's a perfect time to reduce your bet size. Bigger games should not equal bigger bets, because these are the sharpest lines that we are going to be fighting all year long. Bookmakers are much less likely to make a mistake in the NCAA tournament than they were in, oh, I don't know, some mundane Southland game in January. What do you think that they're more concerned about? Making sure, oh, this line in McNeese versus Texas Southern. We need to make sure that that's correct. And that's a non-conference game, by the way, so there's that. But they're much less concerned about that. They're much more concerned about making sure that they've got something very sharp for all these NCAA tournament games. Once you get down to the Sweet 16, Final Four, it's even sharper from there. So they're really batting down the hatches. Meanwhile, they take a little bit of a loss on a game that we're seeing in the CIT, they're going to be much more okay with it as long as they got the NCAA tournament line correct and they were able to make their vig, they were able to get the right side and the right sort of action on those sort of games. So I do think that that's very important to be mindful of. So we will absolutely be hitting all these ancillary tournaments. So we'll say my DK Network write-up pick for this Tuesday is going to be on an NCAA tournament game. I found quite a few edges just across the board, but do not be surprised if you see me writing up some of these NIT, CBI games, what have you. So we're going to keep it rolling there. And also, I know that some of you guys were just asking me if I will be making changes with regards to bracket or anything like that. And if I do, I will make it known on this channel, on my Twitter slash X feed as well, because I have just found in the past, I don't know about you guys, but whenever I make changes to my bracket, they always go horribly wrong. I always feel like your first gut reaction is one that you should be going with. Every single time you doubt yourself, it typically goes horribly wrong. And I did the full bracket reveal on the podcast yesterday. I've got it very appropriately labeled the 2021 bracket special, so it makes it very easy to find. You get every bracket pick for free. I am not going to post my actual paper bracket up on Twitter/X. I don't want people to just copy it with doing absolutely no work whatsoever. You listen to the podcast, you get rewarded. You don't listen to the podcast, you get nothing and like it. So by listening to the podcast, you always get the best of it. But I do think that that's something to be mindful of as well. Just stick with what you've got is typically the best approach I take. Now, there's having late-breaking injury information. If some star player goes on the roller coaster, breaks every single bone in his body, and is unable to play in the round of 64 in the NCAA tournament, that's a little bit of a different situation. That's something that you were unaware of that popped up. So always do be factoring that sort of thing in there, but I always find second-guessing myself when there's not, like, injury concerns, things like that in there. That's something that can go a little bit awry. And then for the transfer portal news, what have you, I'll be starting up with that on days where we don't have games. So, like, when we've got sort of the lead-up to the Final Four, we'll be taking a little bit more of a look at the coaching carousels. The transfer portal opened up on Monday. 282 guys hit the transfer portal. If I were to just do a big giant list of guys that entered in the transfer portal and my thoughts, you guys would get a 5-hour podcast with none of it being picks. So we want to be keeping it to picks this time of year. Once the offseason hits, I'll be full bore into the offseason, but we're still in the 2023-24 season. When we are done with the 2023-24 season, then I'll be looking at the hoopla of the transfer portal, looking at all these teams that have coaching vacancies are out there, what have you. So I did want to just answer a few questions there. Nice short first segment. We did not have any college basketball games on Monday, but that action is going to be getting started up on Tuesday. A man that is ready for it is Mike Randall. He does such tremendous work over at FTN Network. He's going to be joining me next to take a look at his bracket, take a look at the round of 64 games, and so much more here on Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Craig Peterson, now a part of the Houston Family Podcast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storr on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Las Vegas, for Coast to Coast with myself, Craig Hoops Peterson, now part of the Visa Family Podcast, and it is always great to be joined by this man as Mike Randall. He does such a tremendous job over at FTN Network and FTN Bets, taking a look at this great game that we all know and love of college basketball. He does a great job following this great sport all 12 months out of the year, and he does his own podcast, the Screener Podcast. You're able to catch that wherever you get your podcasts, and additionally, he does a great job in terms of the daily fantasy side of the NBA. I know that he's been locked in with all the hoopla that we have been seeing in the NFL offseason as well, and he does so many different things, does so all so well, and you're able to catch all of his work over on Twitter/X over at Randall Rant Altogether. So that's his last name and then the word rant altogether. And Mike, great to have you aboard. Thank you.
Greg, always an honor. I mean, we wait all year for this and it's here and you and I are on fumes right now. We're going to be for quite a while, but this is why we watch the games. This is why we handicap the games. Best time of year, my friend. Pleasure to talk to you.
Great to have you aboard, Mike. And before we dive in on the NCAA tournament and all the hoopla, I do have to ask you about this. We've got quite a few ancillary tournaments this year. I didn't know we were going to be getting the CIT back until I popped into the odds screen on Monday and saw, oh, we've got CIT games. So those are back. We're going to be getting the CBI in about a week or two. The NIT is going to be back on Tuesday as well. Do you take a look at some of these lesser tournaments? And if so, how do you bet these? Because I do think that while we all love the NCAA tournament, and it is, in my opinion, just the best sporting event that you're going to get all season long, I do think that there is great value in these lesser tournaments as well.
Oh, there's fantastic value. And you and I have watched it for years. The underdogs are very live. And in the NIT especially, there is a chasm of a difference between teams that you think are motivated, that have a bond with their coach. You know, it's sort of a feel thing. Remember years ago when Kentucky was in it, they got knocked out in the first round. whether teams are home or not doesn't make a huge difference. What you're looking for are those teams that are motivated, that can make a run in these postseason tournaments, like North Texas last year with Grant McCaslin. So there is tremendous value, because for the most part, I think the spreads and the seeds are based on the totality of the season, and that is not necessarily how it's going to play out. In fact, more often than not, you see a lot of value in the underdogs here. So I am locked in. There's some great value in these tournaments because people don't really look at them, and there's a chance for sharp bettors to really get some good numbers.
Oh, absolutely. I remember taking a look at the DraftKings odds screen very early in the AM, and the current numbers that we're seeing right now, they were not the numbers that we were seeing very early on in the AM. So we were able to get some good value there, and I do think that there's some great value across the board when it does come to taking a look at college basketball. And then in terms of the NCAA tournament itself, was there a matchup or two when it was announced on Sunday that you just really were like, what the heck happened here? Whether that be from a game that you just have no idea what to make out of it, it's one of those heads or tails sorts of things, or one that just really made you scratch your head and that maybe you felt like the underdog was getting a bit disrespected.
I can't hold you up here for 2 hours. I mean, we can go through it. Greg, when I hear the brackets come out, I don't really care what the process is or what their priorities are, but I want to know what it is by looking at the bracket. When we handicap our teams, I don't care whether you want to run up and down the floor like Kentucky or you want to play half-court basketball and slow it down like Houston. It doesn't matter to me. I just want to be able to know going in what that criteria is, and I don't have it here. There's no way Florida Atlantic should be an 8. None whatsoever. I mean, was this seeded a week and a half ago? And then the rumor, of course, which I don't know is true, but I believe it is, that because BYU can't play on Sundays, or they want to honor that they can't play on Sundays, which I support, that they bumped them down to 6 and just bumped Duquesne up to an 11. That's lazy seeding. Just have it so it's worked out, because now Duquesne is an 11 seed. You look at it, they're not worth it at all. So yeah, there were several things that were head scratching. You know, we don't value the Mountain West is what I heard from the committee chair, because they didn't have a ton of non-conference wins. They just beat each other. But we're still going to put 6 teams in, even though we don't value those. And the Big East is only getting 3. Seton Hall should have been in. They beat UConn. They beat Marquette. Only loss was to Rutgers. They had no quad 4 losses, only that quad 3 loss. Florida Atlantic's got 2 quad 4 losses and basically a 4th because they lost to Temple in the tournament. There was a lot of head-scratching things, more so than normal. I wish we would just have the clear criteria. They value big wins. They overrate bad losses. I don't care what it is, but it just seemed to be very capricious and arbitrary.
Yeah, it was a little bit head-scratching to see some of the seeding that we got. And I do think that as bettors, we are the beneficiaries of those, because we do have some interesting matchups. And I do think that it's going to lead to some upsets here in the round of 64, as Mike Randall, he does tremendous work over at FTN Network. He is joining me right here on Coast to Coast Hoops. And I'll give out one upset that I'm taking a look at. I picked this for my bracket. Now, I probably am not going to get there outright on the money line. I'm considering it. I think that I'm going to just stick with the points I've already taken, though. That'd be this Akron versus Creighton game. Right now, in a lot of books, you're finding Akron as right around about a 12.5-point underdog. I've seen a few 13s pop as well. But what do you make out of this matchup? Because I do think that Creighton is a bunch that, if they get hot, they could certainly make a run in this tournament. But at the same time, I've just seen them away from home. And every time I watch them away from Omaha, I'm just really not impressed with them. And with some of their scoring lulls, I do think that that leaves them a little bit vulnerable going up against the nation's top rebounder, Enrique Freeman.
Yeah, I completely agree with Enrique Freeman. On the average, there's about 12 lower seeded upsets throughout the tournament on average, 12. So you're looking in the first round, 6, maybe 7. And this is one of them that I marked right away. I have put Akron through as the outright winner. Creighton has to make threes. That's what they do. I have watched them, Greg, because I'm here on the East Coast more times than I want to admit, either in person or on TV. They give up wide open layups to kick back out for 3. The reason that they got back in the game against Providence in the Big East tournament is because they started attacking the basket. Trey Alexander getting in the paint. Kalkbrenner did some things. I don't think he can do that against Enrique Freeman. I think the Zips, who are fantastic, they held opponents in the MAC to 28.1% from three-point range and 30% overall, including the non-conference, that's top 13 in the nation. So they can defend the 3. They're good at rebounding. Freeman can match up with Kalkbrenner, and they have a solid offense. John Gross, great job. 3 years in a row, 22 wins or more. I have Akron winning this game outright. One of a couple upsets I have in the first round.
Yeah, I absolutely love it. And I didn't even tell you that I was taking Akron. So that tells me that we are on the same wavelength there for those that are noting behind the curtain. We just pretty much hit play right when Mike hopped on. So that was one where I didn't know what the response was going to be. So I am very glad to hear that we're in locks up there. And I do want to get your thoughts on this one as well, because this was another upset that I was taking a look at. And this is one that I feel like quite a few people are going to be on. It is the James Madison versus Wisconsin game. And right now with Wisconsin, they are 5.5-point favorites. Total on this game is anywhere between 145 to 145.5. As we know, Wisconsin had that nice run in the Big Ten tournament. But I feel like James Madison plays at such a unique style that can really bother a lot of Big Ten teams. We saw them early on in the season go into Michigan State, knock them off. That win didn't necessarily age way that they would have liked. But I am very bullish on this James Madison team. And for Wisconsin, even though they won a few games in the Big Ten tournament, I still have my doubts about them.
Hey, Greg, we've talked about Wisconsin, you and I, throughout the year. I need more therapy for this. I loved them early in the year. Veteran team, AJ Storr, perimeter attack. They've never had that. Then they just have a terrific run where it looks like they're falling apart. There's rumors that the kids want to transfer. And now they're all back together. The band's all back together. This is one of the upsets I am not on. I have seen James Madison. They play a very loosey-goosey style under Mark Byington. They take sort of out-of-control shots, very much like Florida Atlantic. Yes, they are tough, and they have two great players in Terrence Edwards and TJ Bickerstaff, which breaks my heart as a BC transfer. And Friedel has come over, and he can make some shots. But I have seen them at their worst as well, losing away at Southern Miss. App State, they couldn't beat. Now here comes a Wisconsin team that's very disciplined, that's not going to hurt themselves, that isn't over-reliant on the three, and I think is going to bring a level of positional defense that James Madison, even with the nation's active longest active winning streak at 13 games, I don't think they can handle it. I actually like Wisconsin in this matchup over James Madison, although I think I agree with you. I think it is very close, and I don't know who I'm picking on the spread yet. But I think Wisconsin advances. This is a very popular one. And call me a contrarian, I don't want to pick the upsets that everyone's picking. I just get nervous about it. So I'm on Wisconsin.
And sometimes going with, for lack of a better term, the contrarian favorite is a good thing as well. I still remember 2 years ago when you had that 4-13 matchup and everyone was taking South Dakota State. Well, Providence won that game. Providence would go on to be able to make the Sweet 16. So I do think that there is always a little bit of value there. As our good friend Josh Applebaum always says, fade the trendy dog. As joining me on the show, we do have Mike Randall. He does such good work over at FTN Network, joining me right here on Coast to Coast Hoops. And we've run through a few of those round of 64 games that really did appeal to me. And I do want to get your thoughts here. When you were filling out your bracket, were there a few things that you were taking a look at just in terms of stylistically? I'm not going to ask you to give out like your whole bracket or anything like that, but were there a few teams, a few attributes that you were looking at that you were either placing a high value on, or were there certain like types of teams that maybe you were placing a little bit in a lower esteem just because you didn't like what you were seeing out of that certain department, that you didn't like that they were maybe like giving up too many points, giving up the arc too much? Were there a few things in general that you were looking for when filling out this year's bracket to either put you on or against a team?
I tried to stick, you know, we watch all the games, Greg, you and I, throughout the year. We study the metrics. So I don't want to give up on the teams I believe in. I didn't give up on Florida Atlantic last year. I didn't give up on Virginia when they won the national title after they went out in the first round. And a few years ago, way back when, about a decade ago, you remember Cornell was really good. And Cornell had a tough first round matchup. And I forget who was against. I got scared off and took the other team. Cornell went to the Sweet 16. So just my own personal style, I'm going to stay with the teams that I've sort of gravitated to catch my eye all year. On the flip side, the teams that I don't like, that I think are overvalued, I'm going to go against. This Illinois team looks exactly like the Iowa team when they had Keegan Murray years ago that went out early. Big offense, big scorer, no defense. Now they're playing a Morehead State team. Every time I saw Morehead State, I was more impressed. They are top 50 in height. So that's a mid-major sign. Normally they're worried about having a size disadvantage. They don't have that here. They are great at defending the arc, which will be great against Illinois. They are great with transition defense. So they have to get out and be able to limit Illinois in transition defense. And I think they can. So those are some, that one caught my eye right away. And another one here, Greg, I don't see how Yale beats Auburn. I don't see it. Since when, if we had an Ivy League team, everyone has recency bias grade because of Princeton. Well, they had Tosin Abumon, who's now with the Detroit Pistons. That was a quality big man that is a heck of a lot better than Danny Wolfe. Not that Danny Wolfe of Yale is a bad player, but he's going to have a little trouble with Jahni Broome inside, and Yale is not a team that makes threes. So I'm sure you feel the same way. When I'm looking for an upset, I want some variance. I want teams that have something that the other team isn't ready for, a player who can go off or has a lot of variance with three-point shooting. Yale is an Ivy League team that doesn't shoot a lot of threes. They make them. They just don't shoot a lot. And Danny Wolfe inside is everything, and he's going to be out-athleted, out-athletic by Auburn. Those are sort of the things that I gravitate towards that drive my decision-making.
And I'm so glad that you brought that one up as well, because I just look at the draw that UConn got, and I feel like if they do draw Auburn in that Sweet 16 matchup, that's one of the worst draws that they could have gotten in the Sweet 16. Auburn is one of the most balanced teams in all of college basketball. I don't know how you felt the committee did UConn, but having to play against a team like Auburn, even San Diego State in the Sweet 16 is rough. If they get to the Elite Eight against Iowa State, that's tough as well. I just take a look at the road for UConn, and I do think that UConn coming into this thing is the best team in all of college basketball, but I thought that they got some stylistically very difficult matchups, and if they do indeed play against Auburn in the Sweet 16, I think that that could be one of their toughest, if not perhaps their toughest game of the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, spoiler alert. What's funny, folks, we didn't talk before this. I have Auburn beating them. And
I do too.
Auburn, we look at the teams that are, Greg, in the narrative base, right? The Week 6 AP poll, or we look at the teams that have the great KenPom ranking. It's like top 40 in offense, top 22 in defense. So I think that may be entering the tournament or somewhere around there, right? Auburn fits those metrics. The only reason that Auburn has been underrated is one, they've been in the shadow of Tennessee and Kentucky and Alabama and the SEC. And number two, they had one quadrant one win for most of the entire year. And then, of course, they lost at Appalachian State. Now, what most people understand is a lot of these teams that are top seeds would have lost at Appalachian State because Appalachian State was really good. So Auburn is getting hot at the right time. We've seen Bruce Pearl do this before. He went to the Final Four, and I think it was Okiki that got hurt. The NBA player now, he was out against North Carolina. So they played North Carolina. They upset North Carolina as a four seed, I believe. And then he got hurt, and then they still ended up making the Final Four. And if they don't foul Kyle Guy in a three-pointer, A, they're in the championship game. B, they may be national champions while losing one of their key players. So Bruce Pearl knows how to navigate it. They're shooting well from the outside. Broome is the anchor inside. They're hot. This is a bad matchup for UConn. I was so impressed with how Shaka Smart defended him without Tyler Kolek. What a performance. You must take away their threes. I put it out on X. The two regular season game they lost in the Big East, UConn, I think they shot 17% from three-point range. You have to limit them at the arc and still have enough roster space and roster depth to battle them inside. That's what Auburn has. It's the region of death. UConn Big East tournament champ, Iowa State Big 12 tournament champ, Illinois Big 10 tournament champ, and Auburn SEC tournament champ. Raise the white flag, but I think Auburn's going to pick them off.
Yeah, I mean, talk about doing a team that had an amazing season in UConn and is looking for back-to-back. Absolutely no favors whatsoever. That's what the committee did to our good friends in UConn, as Mike Randall does such great work over at FDN Network, joining me right here on Coast to Coast Hoops. And Mike, do want to get your thoughts on what we're all going to be seeing on Tuesday as well. We're going to be getting the NIT up and running. We've got some of those first four games. Are there any games in particular that are catching your eye that you're going to be betting, whether that be the NIT? We do have some of those CIT games going on, by the way. Talk about a quick turnaround. Those are going to be games that are going to be starting to go down as well. But I think that you're really starring for Tuesday that you're going to be betting.
Yeah, Wagner just has seven scholarship players, Greg, and it's been a tremendous story out here in the tri-state area, but I think that run ends against Howard. I think there's a depth mismatch, and it's at 3.5 right now, but I think Howard's going to cover. And the other one, I have hated Virginia all year long. Tony Bennett's a legend. It's just not Virginia's year. I got in arguments with Virginia fans who told me how I was down in Virginia at the beginning of the year. They said, well, they have two lottery picks. Who on earth are they talking about? I know it's Reese Beekman and Ryan Dunn. I just don't think they are lottery pick worthy. Ryan Dunn's offense really limited. Yes, their defense is great, but give me Isaiah Stevens and the Colorado State Rams. I believe I read that the majority of bets are now on Virginia in this game, and the line is going the other way. That's just because people hate the Mountain West. I think Colorado State wins and covers as well. I am fading Virginia. I'm well aware, Greg, though, the team that doesn't belong in the tournament, Syracuse, year after year, always finds a way to get going. But Virginia just can't score. And I think Nico Medved and Isaiah Stevens will find enough here to get this one.
Yep, I do think so as well with Colorado State. And curious total of right around 120 and a half to 121, because with Virginia, games played away from them, they give up 23.9 points more per one-arm possessions when they're away from home rather than at home. If this game comes down to late-game fouling, I do think that Virginia, they are going to be doomed in terms of trying to be able to keep that total under as well. But a man that always does an amazing job of providing such great insights. That'd be you, Mike. You do great work over at FTN Network. So love to get people at home. Know it's all on tap for you. And how people can follow along on social media and other platforms.
On X at Randall Rant, FTN. We're rolling. I'll have my video out on Wednesday for all the picks for Thursday. Of course, come back on Thursday for Friday. College basketball betting show. Join us at FTN. We have The Sims. We have 35% off with the promo code MADNESS. You can come on over. We got so much great stuff. And this is a time of year, just like Greg does the work. He's up all the time. We're ready to rock and roll. So come on over, FTN. Find us on the web and follow me at Randall Rant. We'll have some fun with a great tournament.
And Mike does absolutely tremendous work taking a look at this great game of college basketball that we all know and love. And every single time he joins this show, lends such good insights. Big thanks to Mike for joining me on Coast to Coast Hoops, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. And coming up next, it is that time of the podcast to give you picks and analysis on every game on the betting board for this College Basketball Tuesday. That includes the NIT and CIT as well, by the way, as we hit some bank shots.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James. LeBron James.
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Las Vegas, with Jessica Soups, with myself, Greg Eats Peterson, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. Always great to be joined by Mike Randall.
does such a good job taking a look at this great game of basketball that we all know and love. Every single time he joins this show, lends such good insights, and it's going to be a tremendous NCAA tournament. I know that he is fired up for it, and always fired up to have him aboard. Big thanks to Mike for joining me in the last segment. Now it is that time of the podcast to give you picks and analysis on every game on the betting board for this College Basketball Tuesday as we hit some bank shots.
Most financial establishments close at a certain time, but not here. It is time for a side and total on every game on today's betting board bank shots.
Do note that, as per usual, any changes that are made to these plays will be listed up on my Twitter/X feed at GNN_D1. We are going to be going in the Las Vegas rotation order. So this means we are going to be going with the first four games out there in Dayton first. The NIT games pretty much in time order go there. And then after that, we are going to be getting the games in the CIT, which the CIT currently has no openers up whatsoever. So you're going to get my handicap and you'll be ahead of the books, because apparently they did not know that the CIT was going to be happening. But we are aware and we're going to be very alert as to what those openers are going to be. So let's get things started with 669, 670 on the betting board. Wagner and Howard are doing battle from Dayton, and Howard is a 3 to 3.5 point favorite. Total on this game between 128 to 128.5. Did semi total 134. I'm going to be looking at the over. You've got a battle of a Howard team that's about 110th in the country in terms of total possessions per game, and Wagner is bottom 5 in the country in terms of total possessions per game. But I do think that Howard is going to be able to exert their will over a Wagner team that, quite frankly, right now, they've got 7 players that are healthy. That is going to be hurting them quite a bit. Now, I do like Melvin Council. A little bit of a do-it-all sort of player for Wagner. 14.5 points, 5.5 boards, 3.5 assists. Doesn't necessarily bury threes, but you do have someone that's able to shoot 47% from distance in Teron Allen. All in all, it's Wagner team that actually does a solid job of taking care of the ball. Only about 10 turnovers per contest, but they just don't shoot very well. They shoot 39.5% from the floor. Now, the good news is they do go up against Howard team that certainly is much worse defensively than them. Howard, in terms of points allowed on a per possession basis, 231st in all of college basketball. And this Wagner team, despite being banged up, they are 40th in the country in terms of points allowed on a per possession basis. But I think that they are going to get eaten up on the glass. I do think that Howard just has a little bit too much firepower here, as you've got Seth Towns, who's able to give you 14 points. He's someone that stands right around about 6'9", 6'10". He's been able to bury about 34% of his threes. And then Marcus Dockery, Bryce Harris, they combine to be able to give you about 30.5 points per contest. Harris throws in their 7.5 boards, a steal, a block per contest, and they combine to shoot about 40% from three-point range. And with Wagner just not having a lot down low, I do think that it makes it a rough situation, which is a big reason why I did set Howard as a 4-point favorite. I'm going to be one to lay the number. Howard, a big advantage on the glass with Wagner. In terms of their overall rebound rate, currently checking in about 175th in all of college basketball. Meanwhile, Howard, you're going to be getting them more in that neighborhood of about 78th. Now, with Howard, the big thing is protecting the ball. They are turning the ball over 15.5 times for contests. That's a bottom 50 mark in all of college basketball in terms of turnovers on a per-possession basis. But Wagner really doesn't turn you over too much. They play games with a lot of clean, free-flowing possessions. You have Javier Esquerra, who's been able to give you about 4.3 assists per contest. He's been solid at being able to dish out the ball. But I just flat-out think that Howard is going to have a little bit of a tough time in this spot. Howard is coming in, having done a tremendous job with their offense. They've been able to get to at least 70 points in pretty much all but one of their games since the beginning of the month of February, when they took on Hampton in that strange John conference game. Meanwhile, Wagner, they have given up fewer than 60 points in each of their last four games, but they just haven't seen a team quite like Howard in quite some time. And I do think that Howard and their just different system and their overall size going to be able to take it to Wagner. And I do think that this game is close enough for a late game felling. I'm going to be taking a look at the over. I did set my total at 134 with Howard willing to lay up to 3.5 with them. Now here comes my DK Network write-up pick, 671, 672 on the card. It is Virginia. They play against Colorado State. Colorado State is a favorite between 2.5 to 3 points. Total on this game between 120 and 121. My write-up is on the over. I did set my total at a 125.5. The big thing with Virginia is they give up 23.9 points more per 1 hour possessions when they are in a road/hoochcourt venue rather than when they are at home. That is ghastly, and that is going to kill them in the spot. Going up against Colorado State team that has been solid with their offense. Top 50 team in the country in terms of points scored on a per possession basis. I know that Isaiah Stevens was a little bit banged up during the Mountain West tournament, but should be all good to go here. You've got 4 separate guys. They're able to give you at least 7.5 points per contest for Colorado State. And it's a team that does a nice job of being able to bomb it from 3 out of those top 4 scorers. three of them shoot north of 36% from the outside, with Stevens being the main headline guy. 7 assists to 2.3 turnovers on 44.5% three-point shooting, and both teams do a nice job of being able to take care of the ball and keep things clean. Now, for Virginia, dead last in the country in terms of total possessions per game, and Colorado State is not an up-tempo team. They're right around the 290 range in terms of total possessions per game, but both of these teams in the top 50 in terms of fewest turnovers on a per-possession basis. Virginia, they're actually a top 10 team. With this regard, with Reese Beekman giving you about 6 assists, he throws in their 2 steals, supplies the team with about 14.5 points per game, and Isaac McNeely has been rock solid with his offense. His shooting has been able to travel overall for the season. Shoots about 44.9% from three-point range, but in games played away from home, he's shooting about 46% from the outside. So I like that, but when I think this Virginia team is going to be going so badly wrong, they just don't have anything down low. Ryan Dunn gets her done. 8.7 boards, 2.5 blocks per contest. He's the only guy on the roster that gives you north of 3.7 rebounds per game. Not that Colorado State is some amazing rebounding team, about 200th in the country in terms of rebound rate, but Joel Scott and Equate Clifford, they combined for 25 points, 13.5 boards. Clifford also gives you steal and a half, 3 assists per contest. Really like what he brings to the table. And then got some nice ancillary pieces like Josiah Strong, Joe Palmer. I mean, these are guys that aren't going to completely light it up or anything like that, but they give you those 6-7 points per contest. They clean up the glass. I do think that this is going to be a game close enough for late game fouling, so even though you get a small amount of possessions, I do think that they get maximized. We've got a Colorado State team that has been able to do a nice job being able to put together some very good offensive exposés. This team has been able to get to at least 70 points in 5 out of their last 6 games, and I mean, it's a Virginia team. Overtime was required on a few of these, but I mean, they've been able to get to at least 65 points in 4 of their last 5 games as well. I feel like this total has just gone a little bit too low. Set mine at a 125.5, so my right up here is on the over with Colorado State. I did set them as a favorite of 3.5. Want to lay up to 3 with them. Now we are going to be hitting the NIT games, as these are going to be games that are going to be played on the campuses of the top seed. This starts with 673, 674 on the card. It is North Texas. They are on the road facing off against LSU. LSU is a 2.5 to a 3-point favorite. Your total on this game is between 135 and 136, and I did set my total at a 135.5. Personally, I would rather have a 136 under rather than a 135 over, but with this one, I'm actually just going to take a look at North Texas outright on the money line. North Texas has done a very supreme job of being able to get Jason Edwards going. 19 points per contest, shoots about 35% from 3, and with North Texas, in terms of points allowed on a per possession basis, it's a top 60 team in all of college basketball. They actually allow 2.7 points fewer per 100 possessions when they leave home rather than when they are at home, and then you've got really good ancillary pieces to be able to help out Mr. Edwards. You've got Reuben Jones, Aaron Scott, CJ Nolan, all these guys that have been able to give you about 10.5 to 12 points per contest. Reuben Jones has been dealing with some ailments, has been able to get back out there on the floor, and has been highly effective for this team, though, as he and Scott both shoot north of 38.5% from 3-point for a North Texas team that's been able to do a better job of taking care of the ball recently. Now, North Texas, to their credit, they've actually gotten to at least 70 points in each of their last 5 games. It's an LSU team that has been actually doing a better job with their defense as well. 70 points or fewer surrendered in 3 out of their last 5 games. For LSU, they just don't necessarily do the world's greatest job on the glass. Everything has been put at the feet of Jordan Wright. He's had to be Mr. Do-It-All with 15 points, 5 boards, 2.5 assists, 1.7 steals per contest. I do like his overall game, but with his team deal with injuries to Jalen Cook throughout much of the season, that has put the onus on him, and you really don't get a lot of great facilitation on this LSU team. Wright is the only guy in the roster that gives you north of 5 rebounds per game, as Will Baker is a 7-footer that he's able to give you about 11 points, 5 boards, shoots it okay from 3-point range, and to LSU's credit, they do give up about 10.2 points fewer per 100 possessions when they're at home rather than in a roadside shoot court setting. But this is a team that's outside the top 160 in terms of points allowed on a per possession basis. Not necessarily doing the world's greatest job with regards to rebound rate, as they're checking in about 160th there. And I do think that North Texas is going to be a little bit more motivated in this spot as well. That's something that you do need to be gauging in the NIT. So it's up by total 135.5 here at the 136. I like the under, and with North Texas, I'm going to bypass the points. I'm going to be looking at them outright on the money line and taking a look at this total under as well. 675, 676 on the betting board. It is Providence, and they play host to Boston College. Boston College, an underdog of 3 to 3.5 points. So on this game, between 137 to 138 and dramatic line movement here as Providence opened up as a 6-point favorite, and I set my line at a 4.5, so I'm right in between the opening number and what we've got right now. Now that we're down to 3, I'm going to be willing to lay with Providence. Now with Providence, it has been a team that has been up and down all season long, but the defense has still been pretty rock solid. You're probably going to be still without quite a few guys. I know that they've been dealing with injuries all season long, but that said, when it comes to this Providence team, you've been able to get a lot out of Devin Carter. Devin Carter has been able to just completely stuff the stat sheet, 19 points, 8 boards. He's able to supply you with north of 3.5 assists per contest, so absolutely love what he's been able to bring to the table. And on top of that, this is a Providence bunch that is still going to be able to have guys like Ticket Gaines and company, some relatively good ancillary pieces. It's been a team that's been dealing with quite a few depth issues, and they do go up against a Boston College team that shoots it quite well from three-point range. You're going to have some issues with Quentin Post in the post. He's been very solid as a 7-footer, being able to give the team 17 points, 8 boards. He throws in there about 2 blocks per contest, is able to facilitate while shooting north of 40% from 3, but this is also a Boston College team that they rank outside the top 255 in terms of opponent's 3-point shooting. I will say this for Boston College. The defense came on towards the back half of the season. 65 points of fear surrendered in each of the last 5 games, but they beat up on Miami like 3 times in the final month and a half, a team that was just a complete sinking ship in general. And you go up against a Providence unit that has been able to find their swagger a little bit more on offense. 70 plus points scored in 3 of their last 5 games, 68 plus in 4 of their last 5. I do think that for Providence, big key for this team is Josh Oduru stepping up, being able to give you about 7.5 boards, 16 points per game. But this is clearly the better defensive team in Providence. Even though Boston College, they did have that nice run towards the back half of the season, I still think that they're going to do a better job, be able to guard the arc, and I just have a little bit more faith in them on the glass as well. You've been able to have Devin McLaughlin for this Boston College team, be able to supply about 6 or so rebounds per game, and I do like the facilitation of Jaden Zaki. Wacky Zaki gives you about 4 assists, so about a turnover and a half per contest. Boston College, a top 50 team in all of college basketball in terms of fewest turnovers on a per possession basis. While this is a Providence team that they do turn it over quite a bit, they're outside the top 200 with that regard, but for Providence, I do think that they're going to do a nice job on the glass against a Boston College team that's about 157th in all of college basketball with regards to their overall rebound rate. And having this Providence team being at home, being able to have someone like Devin Carter that's able to take over the game, I think that that is going to be massive for them. It is a circumstance where I am looking at the over. I think that you're going to see both of these teams play relatively freely in this game. So I did set my total 144.5. I like the over. And with Boston College, set them as an underdog of 4.5 points. So now that we're down to 3 to 3.5, going to be willing to lay with Providence to go along with this total over as well. 677, 678 on the betting board. Xavier is going to be hitting the road to face off against Georgia. Georgia is a 1.5 point underdog. Your total on this game between 152 to 152.5, and I did set Georgia as a 3.5 point favorite. I'm going to be willing to lay this summer. With Xavier, they had an up and down season all year long, but this is just still, it's not necessarily the world's greatest defensive team. They are outside the top 100 with regards to points allowed on a per possession basis. And frankly, both of these teams are, for both of these teams, a little bit of a rough state of affairs. It's a Xavier team that does give up about 8 points more per 100 possessions when they're away from home rather than when they are at home. And for Georgia, they're clocking in about 176 with this regard as well. The big key for Georgia, having their 7-footer Russell Chatwell being able to win the battle down low, as Georgia has been just 254th in all of college basketball in terms of rebound rate. And Xavier is going to have the edge there. Xavier, more around 100th, even though Xavier, it's not like they've got absolute monsters in terms of racking up 10 plus rebounds per game. They do have the best true low post presence at Abdu Usman, 6.5 points, 6.5 boards, really good rim protector with about 1.2 blocks per contest. And then from there, you've got someone like Gaitis Nesmiska. Hopefully I said that correctly. He's been able to give this team about 37.5% 3-point shooting. He's able to supply the team with about 5.5 points per contest. But in the Big East game that they played against UConn in that quarterfinal, he went out after just 5 minutes and 2 points. So that's something that's concerning. Don't think we're going to see him, though you do have the trio in the backcourt. Quincy Oliveri, Desmond Claude, Davion McKnight. McKnight, very versatile, 5 assists, 4 boards, 12.5 points per contest while shooting 38.5% from 3. Claude doesn't shoot it from 3, but gives you 3 assists, 16 points per contest while Oliveri shows in their 19.5 points per game. But this is also a Xavier team that is very vulnerable in terms of giving it up from 3-point range as well. This is a Georgia team that they certainly do have their warts, but as pretty much all these teams in the SEC do, they've been a much better 3-point shooting defense when they've been at home rather than in a roadside shoot court setting, as they allow opponents to shoot just 31.8% from 3-point range on their home floor. Meanwhile, Xavier on the road, they do allow opponents to shoot 35.8% from the outside, and then the duo of Noah Thomason coupled with also Jabri Abdul-Rahim. These three guys have been rock solid all season long for Georgia. They've been able to supply you with a combined about 25 points per contest. Now, Abdul-Rahim probably going to be out of the fold in this one, much like you've got Nismikska out for Xavier. He's going to be out in this game. We have not seen him since March 2nd, but you've had RJ Melendez provide versatility, 10 points, 4 boards. He's able to pop it from 3-point range with Georgia doing a solid job of being able to take care of the ball. I do think that that's going to be just enough to get the job done, and you're probably going to see a little bit more out of the young guy in Blue Kane, who's been shooting 35% from 3-point range as well. So I did set Georgia as a 3.5-point favorite. I'm going to be willing to lay the number. Both of these teams have had rough defenses all season long, to say the least. Xavier, very much an up-tempo team. Georgia was looking to push tempo towards the back half of the season as well. So I did set my total 155.5. I like the over, and I'm going to be willing to lay up to 3 with Georgia. 679, 680 on the betting board. It is Virginia Tech. They play also Richmond. Richmond, the Itsy Bitsy Spiders, are an underdog of 5.5 to 6 points. So on this game, 143.5. I feel like Virginia Tech has been just a little bit overvalued all season long. I'm going to be willing to take those points with Richmond. I did set them as a 3.5-point underdog. For Richmond, this team has been very good with their defense. Top 50 team in terms of points allowed on a per-possession basis. They are 37th in the country in terms of opponent's 3-point shooting percentage. That does balloon up to about 34.7% in a road-slash-neutral-court setting. But Virginia Tech, once again, just ghastly with their defense. At home, they allow opponents to shoot about 34.8% from the outside. You've got Lynn Kidd down low, they would give you about 6 rebounds per game, and that's going to be big. They go up against a bunch in Richmond that's outside the top 240 in terms of their rebound rate. But Virginia Tech's also outside the top 160 with that regard as well. It's a Virginia Tech team that turns the points a lot on a per-possession basis. They check in 186th in all of college basketball. Now, they do give up about 15.6 points fewer per 100 possessions at home rather than in a road-slash-neutral-court setting. But I do think that for Richmond, they're going to do a nice job, be able to hold relatively even on the glass with Isaac Bigelow, coupled with Neil Quinn, being able to supply you with about 11.5 to 12 rebounds per game. Quinn has good versatility. 7-footer, 13 points, 4 assists, shoots 35.5% from 3, and it's a Richmond team that as a whole, they do shoot 36.5% from the outside. Jordan King has been very much the king of this offense, 18 points on 42.5% 3-point shooting. He's able to dole out about 2.5 assists per contest. Absolutely love what he's been bringing to the table. And for Virginia Tech, the heart and soul of this team is supposed to be their offensive prowess, and they do supply about 17.5 points more per 100 possessions at home rather than in a road-slash-neutral-court setting, but this is a bunch as well outside the top 55 with that regard. Meanwhile, you've got a Richmond team that, from 3-point range, are 34th in all of college basketball in terms of their outside shooting, and they shoot 37.7% from 3-point range in true road and neutral-court settings. They're one of the few teams in all of college basketball that shoot it better from 3-point range away from home rather than at home. And Virginia Tech, they shoot about 35% from distance. Sean Badula, relatively nice player, has been able to give you 16 points, 4.5 assists, but does turn the ball over about 3.3 times per contest, and I do think that that's going to take it out of this Virginia Tech team in terms of trying to be able to get a cover. Richmond, well outside the top 250 in terms of total possessions per game. They have been tremendous with their defense all season long. They haven't given up 66 points or fewer for their last 5 games. And while Virginia Tech has played some Eric Brain games, they've gotten to at least 76 in each of their last 4 games. They're well outside the top 150 in terms of total possessions per game. I think that this game gets slowed down. Semi total 139.5. I like the under, and I'm willing to take the points with the Itsy Bitsy Spiders. 681, 682 on the betting board. Cornell, it's the road they're facing off against Ohio State. The Ohio State University finds themselves as 10.5-point favorites. So on this game, between 154.5 to 155.5, and for Ohio State, I did set them as a favorite of 9 points. I'm going to be willing to take the double figures with Cornell. What I think is really going to hurt Ohio State in this matchup is just seeing a completely foreign style like Cornell brings to the table. They give you hockey-style line shifts. They're a team that they're looking to generate a bunch of turnovers. It's a whole is greater than the sum of its parts sort of team with pretty much like 9 or 10 guys in the rotation. They give you 14-plus minutes. They'll do a relatively solid job of being able to put the ball in the basket. Pretty much everyone at Saints, one guy in their rotation gives you at least 5.5 points per contest. And you've only got one guy that gives you north of 11.4 points per contest. Chris Mannon, he's really one of your main facilitators, as he, Nazir Williams, Isaiah Gary, they all give between 3 and 3.2 assists per contest. They combine for in that neighborhood about 4.5 steals per contest. Mannon shoots about 34% from 3. And for Cornell, everyone on the floor is able to pop it from 3-point range. Cornell, they generate about 8.5 steals per contest as well, going up against an Ohio State team that has experienced a renaissance under Jake Diebler, and I think that they're going to take this very seriously. I do think that these guys are going to continue to fight for Diebler. We've got Bruce Thornton, who's been able to do a nice job doling that out, 4.5 assists, 16 points per game, and if you look at Ohio State's numbers overall for the season, it is a team that is well outside the top 225 in terms of total possessions per game, but ever since Diebler has taken hold of this team, they have been playing significantly better in terms of their offense. They have gotten to at least 73 points in all but one of their games, and I believe 8 in total that Diebler has taken over for. Might actually be 9, but I mean, they've been really able to put up the points going up against Cornell team. That is a top 75 team in off-college basketball in terms of total possessions per game. Got slowed down a little bit in that game against Yale, but you take a look at this bunch, they've gotten to at least 74 points in 4 of their last 5 games, and they've been giving it up as well. This team has given up at least 74 points in all but one of their last 5 games, so I do think that you're going to get an up-and-down fun battle in this one. I did set my total more around a 155.5. As a result, I'm going to be looking at the over. And with Ohio State, can I make them a 9-point favorite? So we'll take double figures here with Cornell and this total over. 683, 684 on the betting board. Butler is going to be playing us in Minnesota. State with the smallest strengths in the union. Minnesota is a 3.5-point underdog total on this game between 147 and 148. Very intriguing spot. You've got a Minnesota team that they started out the year 24-4 against the spread. They're on an against the spread skid of 4 games, though. And I do think that Butler, with their home court advantage, finds a way to be able to get the job done. Set my line at a 5.5. I'm going to be willing to lay it in. This has just been a Minnesota team that flat out has not been the same team away from the barn. For Minnesota, in terms of points allowed on a per possession basis, they check in overall at about 178th in all of college basketball, but this should have you very concerned. They give up 26.3 points more per 100 possessions when they're away from home rather than when they are at home. Just absolutely ghastly. Now, I like the game of Elijah Hawkins. Last year, he was over at Howard, and while he was over at Howard, he led all of college basketball in terms of turnovers on a per-game basis among qualifying players. Now, what I will say about Minnesota is that they actually shoot 38% from three-point range away from home. That compares to about 34.7% when they're at home, and Hawkins does a good job setting these guys up, supplies the team with about 9.5 points per contest, and it's just all about the Dawson Garcia show. 17 points, 6.5 boards, block per contest. He's able to pop it from three as a big man. Cam Christie, Mike Mitchell, they combine to shoot about 40% from three, but I do think that Butler going to be able to do a relatively solid job in this ordeal. You've got a trio of guys, DJ Turnitup Davis, Pierre Brooks, Jamile Telford. These guys, they've been able to do a nice job combining for about 42 points per contest, with Brooks being that main three-point shooter. He shoots 41% from the outside. It's a Butler team that does a nice job taking care of the ball. They return the ball over about 11.8 times per game. Minnesota, they do get a little bit more loose with it, and Minnesota is certainly going to give it up from three-point range. Away from home, they allow opponents to shoot 39.5% from three-point range. Meanwhile, for Butler, at home, they allow opponents to shoot 34% from three. That actually goes down to 31.2% in a roadside shoot court setting, which I do find to be very strange, to say the least, but sometimes you do just get those strange splits. But for Butler, they have been a top 125 team in terms of points scored on a per-possession basis. They've honestly seen a bigger boost with regards to their defense when they've been at home rather than their offense, and I do think that for Butler, they're going to do a nice job holding up against a Minnesota team that just has not been the same team when they've been away from the barn. I do think that some of those splits are a little bit misleading. Both of these teams are relatively mid-tempo teams. They're not going to absolutely gun it at the same time. They're not going to play super-duper slow. Did set my total as a result at a 147.5. Here at the 148, I think we've gone a little bit too far. I'm going to be looking at the under, but with Butler, I did set them as a favorite of 5.5 points. Going to be willing to lay that number. 685, 686 on the betting board. South Florida, it's a red face-off against Central Florida. Totals between 140 and 140.5. Central Florida, a 5-point favorite, and I made my total 132.5. I'm going to be diving in on the under. Neither of these teams are necessarily slow, but both of these teams have been very good in terms of their defense. Central Florida is a top 15 team in all of college basketball. In terms of points allowed on a per-possession basis, South Florida has really been able to creep their way up the metrics as well. For South Florida, in terms of points allowed on a per-possession basis, you're finding them clocking in the top 50 in all of college basketball. And for South Florida, their defense travels. If you look at just road and neutral court environment games, they are a top 25 team in terms of points allowed on a per-possession basis. Meanwhile, if you look at the Central Florida team at home and at home only, they are a top 20 defense as well. So both of these teams are in their element. I do think that South Florida going to be able to hold in this game as well. I did set my line at a 2.5. They have been one of the best three-point shooting defenses in all of college basketball, going up against a Central Florida team that really doesn't have a lot from the outside. You last season had Jalen Sellers while he was over at Ball State shooting north of 44% from three. He's been shooting in the low 30s this year, despite the fact that he's supplying the team with 15-plus points per contest. For South Florida, they rank in terms of opponent's three-point shooting percentage 32nd in all of college basketball. Meanwhile, this Central Florida team at home, they allow opponents to shoot just 30.3% from three-point range. And for South Florida, that has been the lifeblood of this offense. For South Florida, ever since that December game against Florida State, they've been shooting darn near 40% from three-point range, you've got a pair of guys, Celton Miguel, coupled with Chris Youngblood, that have been able to shoot north of 38% from three-point range. They both give you between 14 and 15 points per contest, and it's a self-forward team that does a relatively solid job of not beating themselves. They only turn the ball over about 10.5 times per game. Now, what is ultimately going to cost them this game outright, the Central Florida team, they just have much more on the glass. South Florida is outside the top 140 in terms of their rebound rate. Meanwhile, you've got a Central Florida team that, in terms of their rebound rate, they're checking in 69th. That's very nice, as Keshawn Pryor, he's able to supply South Florida with 7.8 rebounds per game. Other than Brandon Stroud, nobody else on the team gives you north of 4 rebounds per game. While Central Florida, they've got Abreu Diallo down low, is able to do a nice job. 5.5 boards, about 2 blocks per contest. You've got Omar Payne, who's able to give you nearly a block and a half per contest. Really outside Diallo, you don't have another guy that gives you north of 5 plus rebounds per game, but got a lot of ancillary pieces that are able to give you like 4 boards, like a Thorino, Ciala, guys like this. And I do think that the overall size helps Central Florida win this game outright, but I think that this is a low scoring slog that South Florida hangs in an interstate rivalry. So I did set my line at a 2.5. I'm taking the points with South Florida, and did set my total 132.5. Also like the under 687, 688 on the betting board. I will place those to Kansas State. Kansas State is a underdog of 5.5 points. Totals between 156.5 and 157. Made by total 157.5. I do like this total over. It's an Iowa team that they just give it up on defense, well outside the top 225. Turns the points a lot on a per possession basis. And for Iowa, in their last 36 home games, they've gotten to at least 75 points in all but 3 of them. It's a Kansas State unit that, to their credit, they've been a top 75 team in terms of points allowed on a per possession basis, and they're amazing at being able to lock down from 3-point range. Opponents shoot just 29.5% from 3-point range against them in a road/shoot-to-court setting. That's a top 25 mark in all of college basketball. That said, this is a team that's a bit more vulnerable down low, and Iowa's not really been taking a whole bunch of jump shots just with the way that this team is made up. They do have more guys like Peyton Sanford, who are double-figure scorers. Ben Cricky has been able to give you about 14 points, 5 boards per contest. And to the credit of Kansas State, if you look at them in terms of their two-point shooting percentage, they're 39th in the country, but that goes from 43.5% at home up to 50.5% in a road/shoot-to-court setting. And Kansas State, they themselves have had a tough time being able to hold on to the ball. They turn the ball over about 15 times per contest. At the very least, they were at their peak. I think that this fell to more like 14 times towards the back half of the season, but they've been well outside the top 300 in terms of total possessions that end in a turnover. That's not what you want to see, though. They do have Tyler Perry. You've seen him on the silver screen. Now you see him on the hardwood, combining with also Cam Carter for about 30 points per contest. Both of these guys shooting the low 30s from three-point range. It's been all about Arthur Kaluma being able to provide this team something down low, along with David and Gesson. A combined 14 rebounds out of them. Kaluma, a very solid scorer with about 14.5 points per game, and Gesson, he gives you about 7.5 boards per contest. And for Kansas State, I do think that they're going to be able to hold in there, even though Iowa is a little bit of a different animal when they're at home, because I think that they're going to be able to win that rebound battle. This is an Iowa team that has Owen Freeman down low. He's been able to give you 6+ rebounds per game. I do like what he's able to bring to the table on that front, but Iowa just 231st in all of college basketball in terms of their rebound rate. Meanwhile, you've got a Kansas State team that, along with Will McNair, being able to provide about 5-6 rebounds per game. This team has been locked in with regards to rebound rate being about 79th in all of college basketball and being one of the better ones in a road/shoot-to-court environment in college basketball as well. I do think that this game gets cranked a little bit more up-tempo for Kansas State. To their credit, they've been a team that's been able to come together a little bit more offensively, and on defense, they do come in having given up at least 74 points in 4 of their last 5 games. And for Iowa, they have just been bleeding points as they have given up at least 80 in 4 of their last 5. So, semi-total 157.5. Looking at the over, we'll take 4 plus here with Kansas State. And then this is the last game for the NIT before we hit the old CIT, 689, 690. UC Irvine, Zaza for the Anteaters. They hit the road. Piece of golf against Utah. Utah's a 7.5 point favorite. Totals between 148.5 and 149. Made by total 144. I'm looking at the under. UC Irvine, a top 10 team in all of college basketball in terms of points allowed on a per possession basis when playing away from home, going up against a Utah team that has had some of the biggest home and road splits that you're able to find in all of college basketball. Utah overall in terms of points allowed on a per possession basis, just barely finding themselves outside the top 60 as they're clocking in right around about 90th, but they give up 18.2 points fewer per 100 possessions when they're at home rather than in a roadside shoot-to-court environment. You do have Brandon Carlson. Love what he's able to bring to the table. He's a 7-footer that's able to pop in from 3-point range while supplying you with 17 points, 7 boards per contest. Part of the reason why, though, I can't lay it with Utah is that if you're in any sort of a nip-and-tuck game, this team shoots 64.9% of the free throw line. That's a bottom 30 mark in all of college basketball. Now, do love Davion Smith and his facilitation 12.5 points, 6 boards, 6 assists. Really came on strong towards the back half of the season while Ko Bajima, Gabe Madsen, they combined to shoot about 39% from the outside. Madsen, 13 points per contest. Bajima, 9. But for UC Irvine, you've got a nice ball control point guard that is able to give you 6.5 assists per contest in Pierre Cockrell. And that helps out a big three in Darren Sarin, Andre 3000 Henry, Justin Owen, who have been able to combine for about 33 points per contest with Owen and Henry. They combined to shoot 40% from the outside. For UC Irvine, they're a mid-tempo team. They're a bunch that has been able to get a little bit more efficient as the season has gone along with the guards are scoring. And I do think that the 7-footer and Ben Lutken, who comes over from the great country of Germany, he's able to pop threes at 7 feet tall. He gives you about 5 rebounds per game. He actually matches up relatively well with Carlson. So I do think that that's going to keep Irvine lively in this game. Now, for Irvine, they've actually gotten to at least 79 points in each of their last 5 games, but defense is still about there, 71 points of fear surrender in 4 of their last 5 games. Meanwhile, you've got a Utah unit that really did emerge with their defense towards the back half of the season. 72 points of fear surrender in 4 of their last 5 games. Both of these teams relatively mid-tempo, so semi total 144. Looking at the under, set my line at 4 with Utah being the favorite, so going to be wanting to take those points with the Zot Anteaters as well. Now, let's hit these two CIT games. They are both off the board as of right now, 891, 892. Abilene Christian is already face-off against Texas A&M Corpus Christi. This is a game where I set Corpus Christi as a 3.5-point favorite and made my total 145.5. So 3 or less looking at Corpus Christi, 4 or more, taking the points with Abilene Christian, 145 or less looking over 146 or higher. The under, you've got two relatively up-tempo teams. Now, for Corpus Christi, this has actually been a very good defense, a top 80 team. Turns points a lot on a per-possession basis, but they play sort of the 40 minutes of HE double hockey six style from back in the day. They do a nice job being able to generate turnovers. They're runner first in the country in terms of total possessions per game. They do a nice job really locking you down from three-point range, while they themselves only shoot about 31% from three-point range. And Abilene Christian, they pride themselves on being able to generate turnovers. 66th in the country in terms of total possessions per game, top 40 team with regards to just their overall turnover ratio and turnovers forced on a per-possession basis. And for Abilene Christian, this team really did emerge towards back half of the season. It was a very rough start to WAC play for them, but then they go on that nice win streak that includes a win over Grand Canyon. You've got Ali Abdudiba, who's able to give you 15.5 points per contest, shoots 35% per three, and Hunter Jackman is going to be the best outside shooter in this game, shooting 41% from the outside, 12.5 points per game. Now, where Abilene Christian is going to get flattened is on the glass. They are outside the top three with regards to rebound rate. Meanwhile, you've got a Corpus Christi team that they do a really nice job being able to man up, being able to hit the boards as in terms of their overall rebound rate this season. This team has been clocking in 32nd in all of college basketball. Gary Clark has been your main guy, 13.5 points, 8 boards per contest. For Corpus Christi, on top of that, you've got Dane Prim, the transfer from Northwestern State, who's been able to give you about 6 boards. And for Clark and Prim, they both give you a steal per contest. This team does a nice job ripping the ball away, even though they themselves turn the ball over about 12.5 times per contest. And I do like the fact that you've got pretty much a designated passer in Marion Humphrey. He only gives you about 5 points per game, but throws in there 4 assists, does a nice job giving you about 1.7 steals per contest. So even though Corpus Christi plays fast, they haven't necessarily been a part of a bunch of high-scoring exposés, so they've gotten to at least 70 points in each of their last 5 games. I do think that this just unique Abilene Christian defense is one that is very unique to prepare for, and I do think that it's going to take it out of this Corpus Christi team just a little bit. So 145 or less looking over, 146 or higher the under, and with Corpus Christi, 1 layup to 3 with them, 4 or more taking those points with Abilene Christian. And we wrap things up with 893 and 94 on the card. It is Tarleton State, and they're going to be playing host to Texas Southern. I made this line, Tarleton State, a 10-point favorite with a total of 140. 139.5 or less looking at the over, 140.5 or higher the under with Tarleton State. Willing to lay up to 9.5 with them, 10.5 or more taking those points with Texas Southern. Tarleton State is right now under the tutelage of an interim coach, so I think that they're going to fight hard for them. I don't know why they re-signed Billy Gillespie, is currently out due to health issues, but I mean, it's a Tarleton State team that had a really nice year out there in the WAC conference. Meanwhile, for Texas Southern, they actually really did emerge shorts back half of the season out there in the SWAC, as they've been able to get to at least 68 points in all but 2 of their games ever since the beginning of the month of February. So even though you take a look at the metrics, and for Texas Southern, they are well outside the top 275 in terms of points scored on a per-possession basis, a little bit misleading, as PJ Henry, Jonathan Cisse, they've got a nice camaraderie between the two of them, combined 20.5 points, 5 assists. Henry is able to give you 2 steals per contest. These two guys combined to shoot about 37% from 3-point range. Now, I will say, you've got sort of a Texas Southern team that they went up against some of the lesser competition in all of college basketball. The SWAC is a brutal conference. When they played out of conference, they were getting smoked. But you also have a Tarleton State team that they play outside the top 300 in terms of total possessions per game. So their scoring that we saw out there in the WAC, I do feel like it's a little bit too hyped up. Now, I like what Ja'Cory Smith is able to do. 16 points, sealed on upper contest. He's been able to do a solid job there. While Devin Barnes shoots 40% for 3, 13 points per game. But for Tarleton State, this is not necessarily a great team on the glass. Tarleton State, they are well outside the top 225 with regards to rebound rate, and they are outside the top 200 in terms of opponent's 3-point shooting percentage, while Texas Southern has been pretty rock solid in terms of their defense. Texas Southern, a top 110 team in terms of points allowed on a per-possession basis. They rank in terms of rebound rate about 219, so both of these teams sort of on the same wavelength there. But I do think that for Texas Southern, they're going to do a nice job being able to lock it down from 3-point against the Tarleton State team that is only shooting about 31.5% from the outside. Texas Southern, they rank 70th in the country with regards to opponents' 2-point shooting percentage. And then when you get to the 3-point shooting percentage numbers, they are in the top 125 with that regard as well. So I do think that this is going to be a little bit of a lower scoring game, even though Texas Southern really was able to find their offense towards the back half of the season. So circumstance where 139.5 or less, looking at the over, 140.5 or the under. I do think that this Tarleton State team that's in the top 30 in terms of total turnovers forced on a per possession basis, they do throw this Texas Southern team for a little bit of a loop. So 1 to 8 to 9.5 for Tarleton State, 10.5 or more taking those points with Texas Southern. That will wrap things up for the Tuesday edition of Coast to Coast Hoops, now part of the VSiN family of podcasts. If you do like hearing from this fine podcast, Coast to Coast Hoops, you're able to subscribe wherever your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one or two ways we offer those in. First one is by Twitter /XIMLion at GNN_41. Keep in mind, letters EM, they mean does not matter, so as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. Other ways, find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you are able to fire on whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. And a big thanks once again to Mike Randall of FTN Network and FTN Bets for joining me in the live segment. Coming at you guys every single day, throughout the college basketball season, and you know, coming at you, let's get them out. Thank you so much for tuning in.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.